I just want to get it where we get people watching.
He's
right
listening
now.
To Ward Davis.
Bring it on. Want some? Get some. Can I get a hell yeah?
Yes, I am a pirate.
You have to go with the pirates because, of course, they have cannons and everything.
It's a pirate's life for me.
Be proud of who you are and what you are. You pirate.
It is a first down.
Carolina, you go for it every time. Well, you don't coach in East Carolina, you don't come to East Carolina, you don't play in East Carolina with a weak heart. Write it.
I think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. It was deafening in there.
Whoever them are, I can promise you that.
And it's crumple all night long in Eastern North Carolina.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
All right, welcome in to On Deck. This week we're talking about Coastal Carolina, and we waited for the end of the Wilmington game. The Pirates just won 5-3, as I believe it now. Johnny Robertson 7-5-1 on the year, the tie with North Carolina. So good to have the Pirates now 6-5. They should be 7-5-1 off the top of my head. But great to beat Wilmington, man. That is a great. When let's bring in my buddy AV. Alan Vick has, I believe, 27,000 DVDs of ECU baseball games alone, going back to 19. They started playing in 1932. I don't know if he goes back that far, but at least World War II, Alan.
I go back to when the basketball team was using peach baskets, and when the baseball team was using cricket bats. Yes.
Yeah, you go back to the days of Christenberry Jim. You were there before it was Christenberry, before John Christenberry was a coach.
Yeah, I go back to the East Carolina Teachers College days.
Wow. As Johnny, you know, there's always that guy. There's always people that can top you that have been here longer. And Alan's been here. 1932 is when we started athletics, Johnny. So at least we have a guy still alive that can tell us about all these great memories. And he's got them archived in decade, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and beyond.
I look pretty darn good for 90 years old or 100 years old, don't I?
I tell you what, I tell you one thing, and I'm serious when I say this. I'm joking when I say this at the same time. You have an awesome wife because she keeps you young, man.
Well, I use a lot of oil of Olay too, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you got really nice skin, Alan. Is that okay for me to say?
Thank you, Dave. Yes, I appreciate that. There'll be a little something extra in your stipend this coming week.
Thank you so much. And I tell you what, I'm excited. How about them Pirates? As Josh, absolutely, Josh. I tell you what, we're very excited because I believe that we'll be talking about tonight being On Deck, Coastal Carolina, as we're going to Conway. And we'll talk about that. And I tell you what, let's get all three of those down there. That'll be great. Uh-oh. Alan needs to trade that hat for a Braves hat.
I have an Atlanta Brave. I just, tonight's my Yankees hat, but I have a Braves. I have a couple Braves shirts and a Braves hat.
There you go.
But I'm a long time Yankee fan.
Oh boy.
Here we go.
Let me ask Johnny, Red Sox?
No, I'm a Braves guy. I don't have any use for the Red. Although we got our eye on one of the Red Sox key hitters to replace Jerks and Profar, perhaps.
I've got an A's hat. I can go neutral if you guys are really offended by my Yankee hat. I can go change very quickly if I need to.
Alan pulls for every single team, so that way. Yeah.
I'll wear anything free, and the guy gave me a nice A's hat 6 months ago, so I'll wear anything free. Will eat and wear anything that's free.
If you are a radio person, you don't get paid a lot, and so that's why you get free swag. We'll do it for, we'll give you a free pizza if you like, if you'll do this for us, or we got t-shirts for you. And
people in the radio industry in Eastern North Carolina that have survived on free pizza for the last 27 or 28 years.
I remember my good buddy, John Creech. Can I tell this story really fast, guys?
Every story you want, and I can verify most of them. Yeah.
So one of the first times I ever met John Creech, God rest his soul, we miss him. He was working, I was working overnights, or nights rather, and he was working overnights. And so what happened was he came in about 11 o'clock every night for his midnight shift. He was early, which was a great thing. And he saw this pizza that was there at, like, on a table. And he says, "Oh man, this pizza, oh man, I can't wait to eat it." I said, "John, this was Sunday night, and I had worked Sunday in the, you know, like Sunday, like 7 to 12 or whatever is my shift." And he was working like midnight, early Monday morning. And that pizza had been sitting there, I'm embarrassed to say, at Washington Toyota, when we used to do those Washington Toyota remotes, it had been sitting there like a day and a half without any refrigeration. And he ate it.
Well, he didn't walk to the pizza. The pizza walked to him.
I'm sorry. You just made me think about a memory. That is so funny. That was one of my first, you know, when you meet someone, that was one of my first impressions of John Creech. Oh, it's a day and a half pizza. And he just ate it. That's why we called him the Creature. But miss that guy a lot. And
he was my buddy. He was my buddy.
One of the best of all time. John White, what's up, brother? Former pitcher for the Pirates under Gary Overton. Pirates like to give us heartaches. LOL. They did finish it off, but man, yeah, we finished like no Division I team. And I'll get in trouble for saying that. That's an old joke. A buddy of mine actually had about basketball. If you're a ECU basketball fan, is that when we would have a lead, we couldn't keep it. But guess what? We survived. We advanced to Coastal Carolina. We'll be talking about that. And Johnny, 5-3, great win on the road against the Seahawks. And there's something, we talked about this, there's something about this game, Johnny, that I wanted to win this one. I love this NCAA rivalry.
Yeah, I mean, this was an important game. Hey, Joe Webb, I am wearing a hat and I am taking it off and I'm waving it in the air in honor of Joe Webb because he needed this. It was a spectacular performance, spectacular. 4 innings of 3 up and 3 down baseball. He faced 12 batters, set them all down. And then, you know, he got into a little bit of trouble. Well, maybe a little bit more than a little bit of trouble in the sixth inning. But, you know, he gets the win tonight. So that's his first win as a Pirate. He showed what he could do. And man, that's huge to know that we have someone like him that can step in and give us multiple innings like that. I mean, to come in and put down the first 12 batters you face is tremendous. I love it.
No doubt. Proud of our Pirates. And Alan, you and I have been following baseball a long time. So has Johnny. And these wins on the road like this, we really need them, especially when we talk the word hosting. We needed this win tonight.
Does not matter. Records make no difference when you can get a road win against an in-state opponent and an opponent that you played more than any other, even though the rivalry is not what it used to be. It's still very important. A win tonight is huge going into Coastal because you could stub your toe very easily tonight and change the vibe going to Conway, but now you're coming off a win, and that's anytime you can beat UNCW, it's a good thing. Yeah.
I mean, I think it is very much still a rivalry. I mean, you know, we got the Campbell thing going on, which is a huge thorn in our side. But I think Wilmington is very important as far as, you know, in-state rivalries go, because they're kind of on the same level as us. They want to be on the same level as us. They haven't reached that yet, but, you know, we needed this game because everyone keeps saying it's still early. It's still early, but we got to put together a really solid weekend. And we couldn't have done that if we lost tonight. Now I feel like we can go into Coastal. Hopefully we sweep them. That would be a tough task. But even if we win 2 out of the 3 and we beat UNC Wilmington, I feel like it'll be a huge accomplishment for the Pirates. And hey, we got some help tonight too. So Western Carolina took out Georgia 10-9. So yeah, Western Carolina. I mean, we need all these teams, their RPIs to be better.
Xavier
beat Ohio State 13-4 tonight. Northern Illinois has won 3 in a row. The Tar Heels have won 6 in a row. They've only allowed 11 runs in those 6 games, and we put 10 on them. And wow. You know, that's on that Saturday game in Durham. So we've been doing some impressive things, and it's starting to pay off. But yeah, we this is a good vaulting us to hopefully a very, very productive weekend.
UNCW is a solid team. Great win, says John White. Again, former pitcher for the Pirates during the Gary Overton days, Coach O. They have very good pitching, hitting. In fact, the hitting has not come around yet, but they are always a tough in-state foe. Amen to you, John. We appreciate, I don't say it enough, my friend. I can't wait to meet you in person because you've been good to us over the years. Appreciate your loyalty and we appreciate anybody that puts on the uniform for the Pirates. I don't care what sport it is. I'm in awe because I wish that I were good enough. Alan Vick and I were bench warmers. I'll speak for myself, but I was a bench warmer. I had to sit on the bench. And so there was no way in the world I would ever make Division I in any sport. Maybe I would say video games, maybe especially Atari. I might be a Division I athlete, but other than that,
I had a great career in T-ball, and then it just went downhill from there.
T-ball, all right.
T-ball and wiffle ball. I was a MVP of the league for 2 years. I forget. Well, of course, I was 12, and everybody else I was playing against was 4.
But, 12.
I was 12 playing wiffle ball. You know.
Nobody ever asked for your birth certificate.
No, it was kind of embarrassing playing Little League and I could buy beer for the rest of the guys.
For 9 to 12 year olds. We didn't need to know that on. Is the statute, Johnny, you're one of our liaisons.
No, I'm not the legal expert here.
No, but you're one of our go-tos. Ask the suits if the statute of limitations have passed now that Alan's serving beer to 9 to 12 year olds. Oh, did I say that?
Well, yeah, Alan, since he's like in his 90s now, he's past the statute of limitations.
Yeah.
He's good.
My IQ is in my 90s. Yes, that is correct.
Go ahead, Dave.
We there's nothing like people trolling. So,
we got a troll?
Yeah, it's all good. I can ban them, so it works out.
Well,
I appreciate the real people. So I want to say that we want you to put your questions and comments. Keep them coming. Alan Vick will, I tell you, I think we're eventually going to have a 90s country challenge between Alan Vick and Kyle Barber, and maybe we'll have a prize for him. I don't know what the prize will be, but we'll, the last man standing. We could probably do it on YouTube, and then we'll people, if they want to really watch, they can watch.
Yeah, now Kyle knows his 90s country quite well. If we go into the 70s and 80s, I got him, no problem. But in the 90s, he's going to give me all I want because Kyle obviously had nothing better to do but listen to 90s country, you know, 24/7 when he was younger. But I'm just kidding.
Well, that makes sense because he was like 10 years old when, you know, the 90s came around.
So, I played a lot of those songs when they were new, and he knows his stuff now. He really does. He's probably going to smoke me in 90s country, but maybe some bonus questions could go back a little further.
Wait a minute. Let's get back to baseball, but I do have a question for you, Alan.
Yeah.
I just realize Kyle's not on the show. What is he doing right now?
Who knows?
Is he listening to somebody?
Who knows what Kyle is doing? He's such a jack of all trades and a master of a few that there's no telling what he's doing now, but I'm sure.
I think he's getting ready for Sawyer Brown. He's picking out, you know, what he's going to wear and all that stuff.
I thought he was listening to Ward Davis.
Remember the guy, Sawyer Brown's lead singer.
Martin. I don't feel like drinking tonight, Dave. Don't do it.
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's get back to baseball. I know you guys want to hear about baseball. I tell you what, I am. I really love when we beat Wilmington. I remember. I'm just one of these CAA guys, and you know, it's like that was such a great. It's always been a great rivalry, basketball. I would say football, but they don't have a football team, so. But basketball and baseball, especially, you know, I really love beating the Seahawks. The war on the shore, and they beat us, we beat them. So it's a good feeling. Alan, Vic, I will have no problems, Johnny and Alan, sleeping tonight because we beat Wilmington. Do you guys want to go over the game, and then we'll take a look at certainly the Coastal Carolina team we have this weekend?
We can do a recap, and obviously I know Johnny's got some good stats to give us tonight.
No, don't do that to me, because here's the thing. I do not have Flow TV, and I was trying to follow it on live stats. I was trying to listen to the radio and follow it on live stats, but the live stats were considerably ahead of the radio broadcast, so I elected to just go with the live stats, and that was a mistake because they were not accurate at all. They at one point they had Jack Vogely making the last out of the first inning, and then he made the first out of the second inning somehow. And at one point Grady Linehan, I know he's good, he's doing things that nobody thought he could do, but nobody thought he could get two hits in one at bat, but that's what he had in his stats.
Wow.
So, well, that's, yeah,
really,
that's our probably, that'll never be duplicated, I don't think. So yeah, I was hesitant to even use the stats because I was like, they did clean them up there towards the end, but hopefully that they're accurate. You know, I imagine they are. I didn't get to see the game, so.
Well, the stats are still far ahead of the radio broadcast. On the radio, they're still in the bottom of the ninth.
Coach O is going to be waiting a while.
he's been standing out there about an hour and 15 minutes now.
They're like, what's that man doing on the field? Well, he's a coach. We just let him.
They're mowing around him as we speak.
I love Coach O. He is absolutely the best. By the way, the Harlem Globetrotters are coming up on March the 18th, and Alex and Mackenzie want to go. So I don't know, Alan, if you – I love the Globetrotters. I've just loved them my entire – I think it's so much fun.
Is this their first Globetrotter experience?
It is not. It'll be their third. In fact, the first Globetrotter experience, if you guys can let me have a proud dad moment. So I had courtside seats. I did the whole thing for Alex. He was just in awe. He had just turned six years old. He was 6 years old. And he'd been playing basketball a few years, and believe it or not, he's always basketball and baseball. He's played almost in his entire life, not, you know, like competitively, but hitting in the backyard and different things. And even in the living room, mama said, don't play ball in the house. But anyway, we were sitting courtside, and Anthony Atkinson that won the Barton, remember that the championship, the Division II championship?
Yeah,
he was with the Globetrotters still at that time, and Alex had been to his camp a couple years, and because he took kids that were really young, which a lot of camps don't, and he looked and he said, can he shoot? And I was like that. I mean, what are you supposed to say? No, he cannot shoot. I mean, of course, it's your son. You're going to, of course, have confidence in your son. And so they take him out on the court. And all of a sudden, they have my son at the free throw line with a 10-foot goal. And he had never played anywhere close to a 10-foot goal at 6 years old. And I was like, oh, my God, please make it. And I knew he had a chance to make it. Man, he swished that thing. And it was about 3,000 people there. It wasn't obviously a sellout, but the place went nuts. And then it had him dancing. I've got the video somewhere I'll have to show you guys, but that was one of the coolest moments. And I had people like congratulating me like he won the national championship with a shot. And all I could say was, that's my son.
That's cool. Obviously, he got his grandma's athletic ability. But, yeah,
Not me. Not me for sure.
That is a cool moment. That's something you'll never forget. So have you got the video? The videotape still? Is that
what I'll have to find. Yeah, I have it on beta, or it might be it's definitely not VHS. I'll have to find it for you.
Yeah, well, whatever you do, you need to, if I can digitize it for you, I will. So
all right. And Johnny, that was very, very cool. But I'm here. And by the way, guys, I promised you guys I will get back to baseball in just a second. I do have one announcement I need to make really quick so I don't forget, and I'll talk about it at the end of the show. I'm very excited now to announce that we have Mark Holliday, Alan Vick, and myself. We're going to be doing the Eastern Finals on Friday night, and it'll be a lot of fun. Alan and Mark are two of my really good friends, and to be able to – I've never done basketball before, but guess what? I know the players. I know the game of basketball. I love Williams Arena. What more could you ask for? What more could go wrong, right? It's a live broadcast, but we're doing that on Friday night, 7:45 airtime, 8 o'clock, and it'll be right here on the Sports Objective. So those of you that love basketball and maybe you want to hear my first time ever doing basketball, it's so fast. That's my thing. But Alan Vick and I and Mark Holliday, the three of us, will have a blast, I promise you. So anyway, that's coming up. And Alan, I know that it's going to be great.
And congratulations to Martin County on the big upset over Farmville Central.
I know. I'm sorry that, my friend Alan Vick went to Farmville Central, and they're very, very good. I'm just proud that, but that makes you proud to know that Farmville Central ladies and the boys and the girls teams are amazing. So that means, that, hey, we're doing something. Our program is growing, and hey, who knows now? Kinston is a very tough team on Friday night, the Vikings, but we'll see what happens. But make sure you tune in on Friday night, and that will be so much fun.
Martin County was good last year, but they really stepped it up a notch this year.
We've got a lot of athletes that this, and truth be told, this is their last year, so a lot of seniors. We got other guys that are coming up. I'm not saying that, but there's a core group of guys that they've had four amazing years, and it would be nice to have the cherry on the top. But we'll see. Just to make it to Eastern Finals, man, in basketball for our program is huge. We're not bad, but we need – this is our time to really step it up, and we'll see what happens on Friday night. And maybe Johnny can chime in all the way from Haymarket, Virginia. Who knows?
What an atmosphere.
On Friday, I'll be – well, Pirate Baseball's – it'll be over by then.
Well, that's going to be a great atmosphere. Kinston and Martin County at Williams Arena Minji's Coliseum, that place is going to be rocking.
I'm going to tell you what right now, both of those schools have a big fan base, so I'm glad that they have it. And by the way, I want to say this too, and we'll get back to, I'm going to make an ECU comment. We'll get back to baseball. Thank you to John Gilbert and everyone that put that together. Because the finals for the East, and I was telling Johnny earlier, we were talking about the show tonight. I was asking him about it at lunchtime, but they always need to have the Eastern Finals. They used to do this, but they need to have it in Greenville every single year. A lot of great basketball. It's also good exposure for our university, for East Carolina. So John Gilbert, J.J. McLant, all those guys, Ryan Robinson, everybody at the administration, when you do something good, we'll tell you, and you did a great job again. Having this event, and there's 8 different divisions, so it's going to take some time, but I think there were some games tonight, but I assume there'll be 4 games on Friday is my guess. I'll have to look at the bracket, but we'll have to wait and see. But anyway, let's get back to baseball. I wanted to make that announcement. And Johnny, I know that winning that game 5-3, how about Sean Jenkins? Another good, impressive coming out.
We'll get to Sean Jenkins, but we should probably start like,
okay.
Yeah, he did a nice job closing it out. I thought they might actually pull him there. But then Brett came in and really, made things interesting. But Brett is a battler, and they kept him in. And he got the win for us. And Joe Webb, like I said, got his first win as a Pirate. But really, as far as the Pirate offense went, and we had 5 Pirates, I'm sorry, with multiple hit games. We had Walker Baring was 2-for-4. Colby Wallace was 2 for 3, and he also got hit by a pitch. Austin Irby, 2 for 5. Grady Linehan, again, 2 for 3 again. He's now up to 277, so he's getting his batting average back up there. Braden Burris, 2 for 4. He's up to 438 now. So, I mean, there was a little dry spot in the middle of the lineup, but, again, I don't know what the at-bats look like because I wasn't watching it, and I hate that because I like to – sometimes someone goes 0 for 3, but they have quality at-bats, and you're not worried about it. But in this case, I'm just going by stats. So the fact that we had, you know, 5 guys with multiple hits, that's definitely a good thing. As far as errors go, we didn't have any. That's a good thing. And then with pitching, Ryan Towers, he had 2 rough outings, and then he came back, pitched okay. And today he threw 1 inning, allowed 1 hit, walked 1 guy, and faced 4 batters. And, you know, he was throwing strikes. He had a total – his pitch count was 13 for the inning, which is great. And he threw 8 strikes. And so we got Ryan Towers looked good. Joe Webb looked good. Sean Jenkins came in, did his thing. He gave us 3 quality innings without allowing a run. And then Brett, like I said, got roughed up a little bit, but he got us home. So all in all, the pitching continued to be great. Didn't get as many strikeouts as we usually did. And we struck out more than we normally do in the batter's box. But I'll take it. We won. And we're going to Conway with some momentum. So I will definitely take this win.
Yeah, we've got some interference coming from somewhere. Somebody's crackling pretty good. I think it might be you, Johnny, if you want to just log off and come back just to make sure, because I think we've got something's bleeding from somewhere. So I'm just
everybody, and if mute, it happens, just mute everybody, mute yourself one at a time. Was it doing it before I came in?
No. It seemed to start about the time you came in, but the whole time, no, like right now, there's no noise. So when everybody's not speaking, there's nothing. So it may have been, okay. It could have been Kyle, and it's not doing
muted,
it now.
I muted myself for a minute, but it's not doing it.
It's not doing it now. I think it was Johnny.
Okay. Well, he'll be right back. But
yep.
Yeah, I would have pulled him in the ninth. Good job by Cliff and Austin sticking with him. He pitched his way out of a jam. I'm not patient. Once you start giving up runs, and now you got guys on base, and we could have a tie ball game. Worst case, you know, 3-run homer and it's over. I got nervous there, but the double play was very fortunate, and that calmed him down and got out of the inning. Saved another arm. Good win. We haven't, you know, recent history against in-state opponents, our record is not very good. So that was good to get the win over Wilmington. Well, Coastal's not an in-state opponent, but certainly a regional opponent. So that coming up. I thought it was funny there listening on the radio. When one of their pitchers came in, they played Here Comes the Rooster, or Rooster by Alice in Chains. And that's Coastal Carolina's theme song. So I thought that was interesting that Wilmington was playing that. But good win. It's always good to beat the Sea Squawks. You know, we need to get a W over Campbell at some point. And then, of course, State and UNC. But we needed to start doing better against in-state opponents. That's something that Cliff has hung his hat on. And I guess this year we've done okay. We went 1-1 against Carolina and, you know, lost to Campbell. Lost to Western, and now we've beat Wilmington. So we're kind of – so what is that, 3-2 against in-state?
Sounds right. May 12th, Kyle has his – Alan. Kyle,
Dave,
has,
I think you're muted.
No, yeah. I can hear him. I can hear him fine, Alan.
Okay. I cannot. So
you might want to leave and come back out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say that with Kyle – yeah, hey, Kyle. With with everything with Coastal, you know, they've had some injuries to pitching, so we'll see how that plays out with them.
They got a big win over Ole Miss Sunday. They played a tough schedule like we have. All right, home field advantage for Coastal. You got to think we're going to be hungry to get that series after going down there and losing in the regional.
Did you hear that Western took out Georgia?
Yeah. They're good. They're good. They beat Georgia. Are they 6-2 or what are they, 7-2 now? Something like that, 8-2. They got a really good record.
Yeah.
Western's a quality baseball team. It's just, and they pitched their Friday night guy against us Sunday. I think that's something we didn't mention on the show the other night, that they pitched their Friday night guy against us Sunday. So there's nothing away from Western at all. It's just, we need to do better against in-state opponents, at least in recent history. And we will. And the bottom line is, you know, as much as you want to win those in-state games, postseason is what really matters. And the one in-state team we need to make sure we beat Charlotte. We need to sweep them because it's a conference game. And look, as of right now, we're chasing UTSA. They're in the top 25 in some polls. They're beating everybody. So we've got some competition in the league this year with UTSA. And, you know, I haven't been following South Florida and Florida Atlantic or Tulane to see if anybody else is stepping up, but UTSA seems to be legit.
They are, as Coach O said tonight, they're a too big league, and we are with us and UTSA. And then you have, he was talking about one of your favorite teams, Cal. I'm joking. The other night we were talking about the CAA, but you have with Wilmington, and certainly with also Northeastern, two of the teams in the CAA.
Johnny's back. He's back.
Johnny's back, and you know he never could be back.
Here's Johnny.
Any crackling going on?
Nope.
I tell you what, I could go for some crackling right now.
And sounds good. You're clear as a bell, sir.
Back, and guys, going down to Coastal, obviously they make it to the national championship last year, but Johnny, I was talking to Kyle when you both were signing out and signing back in. They have had some injuries to pitching, and one of the pitchers, I believe, is out for the season. Is that right?
Dominic Carbone he's done. UCL, he had a UCL reconstructive surgery. The main guy, their Friday night guy, Cameron Flukey, he may be back at some point, but it'll be very, very, very late in the season. And then, you know, they're going to have to be careful with him. You just can't, you know, bring him back.
What kind of injury did he have?
Throw him out there, you know, 90 pitches or anything. So it's unfortunate for them. They lost a total of three pitchers to injury. And, I mean, there's only so much you can endure. And, I mean, they're trying to – I don't even know what the rotation is going to look like. I know one guy – Case Bosch, left-hander, freshman. He may start a game, and there's Saturday guy, Ross Norman, a righty. His last two starts, he pitched 3.1 innings combined and gave up 14 earned runs. So hopefully we'll see him, but I don't know if they're going to put him out there after those two performances. Hopefully they will. And then they have Luke Jones, who's a right-handed sophomore. He's one of they have a tall pitching staff, but Luke is only 5'11", and he's pitched pretty decent. I expect him to be the Friday guy, but we'll see.
With those injuries, they still got a good record. You know, beat Ole Miss. What are they now? Like 7-4.
They're still Coastal. Yeah, here's the funny thing.
They're 7-5.
Yeah, but here's the funny thing about them. One of the dumbest things to do this time of year, if you like college baseball, is to look at RPI numbers, because they're really meaningless. But with that being said, we have a higher RPI than Coastal. So we're 101 right now. They're 120. Like I said, RPI numbers are pretty much meaningless, but it does tell a little bit of a story that, you know, they're not as dominant as we thought they might be. And injuries have a lot to do with that. They also had a brutal schedule. You know, they played Texas, UTSA, and Ole Miss in one tournament. And like Kyle said, they were able to beat Ole Miss handily, by the way. But they didn't have anything for UTSA or Texas. And then they lost to NC State last night in Raleigh, 4-6.
With that kind of non-conference schedule, and with the Sun Belt being a really good baseball league, their RPI, it will be, if we can take this series, it'll be a really good RPI series to get. It'll be really good for our RPI later in the season is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, well, especially because it's on the road. Road wins are doubly important. And the guy that I mentioned, Case Bosch, the left-handed freshman, I just don't think we're going to see him. He's been there, like, he's kind of been their most effective pitcher, but he pitched against State just last night. So, you know, maybe we see him on Sunday. Maybe. I don't know. But he's definitely not going to be out there Friday night.
Why would they throw a weekend guy against NC State
midweek? Well, I think they're just trying to find something, Kyle, because, you know, they're just throwing a bunch of different people out there. And he happened to get to start against NC State and did well. And he did well in the start before that. So he'll probably end up being a weekend guy. But, yeah, right now, I guess they threw him out there last night to see what he could do.
Okay, so he wasn't solidified as a weekend starter at this point.
No, they're still trying to figure that out.
Okay. Well, hopefully they don't get it figured out this weekend.
No, chances of that are slim.
Yeah, I think I really – with if you had told me before all this, like the beginning of the season, I'm like Kyle, I thought this was going to be – and I'm not taking anything for granted. Don't get me wrong when I say this, but
– Oh, no, you're still going to Coastal. They still just beat Ole Miss on Sunday. I mean, winning that series still ain't going to be easy because we're not lighting up the scoreboard. Now if we go down there and we pitch like we've been pitching and they don't have adequate pitching and we are able to light up the scoreboard, we could sweep the thing. But if we go down there and take 2 out of 3, I'll be happy.
Amen to that. What about you, Alan? How are you feeling going in the series?
Well, winning tonight, you know, changes the vibe. I going into that series, and I'm like Kyle and Johnny, and probably you as well. 2 out of 3, I'd be happy. I'd be perfectly okay with 2 out of 3. Anything better than that would be gravy.
So, you're saying? You like meatloaf? 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
I prefer 66.66666 ain't bad. Yeah.
And to me, if you can sweep it, which is a big if, but if you do come away with a sweep, to me, you make up some ground with the Xavier series or, you know, whatever. Because it's not a series you expected to sweep, and you still don't, believe me. They're still, you know, the NCAA World Series runner-ups, despite their pitching woes. So, you know, it's a big deal. It's a big series, and they're going to be fired up, too. I mean, they do not like us, and that stadium will be packed for all 3 games. It's going to be great weather. There'll be a lot of Pirates there. It's going to be, you know, suddenly it's springtime. And so it's a really good weekend to visit Myrtle Beach Conway. So I'm sure you're going to have a lot of Pirates in attendance. So it should be a fun atmosphere for baseball down at Brooks Field in Conway.
No doubt. I'm excited for the Pirates. I think this is obviously a good challenge. And I want to thank the coaching staff too, guys, for making a tough schedule because that helps us out in the regionals and super regionals. And then one day
it also helps keep interest. Even, you know, when you're playing at Coastal, fans are going to be locked in. You know, it ain't like, you know, you're playing Quinnipiac or somebody like that. Just to name a random team. But, you know, not only is it good for the RPI, it's good for fan engagement and to keep fans' interest. You always see tough midweek schedules, but sometimes the non-conference weekend series can be, you know, up and down. So getting Carolina in a weekend series, getting the Keith LeClair Classic, and now Coastal Carolina in a weekend series, this is the kind of stuff that's going to keep the fan base really engaged. And if you can go down there and take the series, then you're going to have some fired-up fans. Who do we play next weekend at home?
So next weekend we'll have Penn, right, Johnny?
That's right. That is right. So, yeah, you got Penn coming home. So a series that isn't as sexy, but if you come off a series win at Coastal, you'll have a good – you're going to have a good turnout for Penn regardless of Pirate baseball.
No doubt about that. And we have Old Dominion on Tuesday and then William & Mary. So the CAA days, we have former foes in the CAA on a road trip on Tuesday and Wednesday. Then we're back home for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So that'll be a lot of fun, especially the jungle.
You know about those girls from ODU?
What about them?
They don't drink, they don't smoke, nor fuck.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there we go. We get that at least two or three, that joke two or three times a year.
And yet you walk right into it again, Dave. Yes.
Well, there you go.
All right. I was just going to say that Penn, they're 0-6, but I'm taking them seriously, especially, their Friday and Saturday night guys. They went down to Texas A&M, College Station, played an 11-1 Texas A&M team, held them to one run in the first game, but lost 1-0. And then they took them to 11 innings in game two on Saturday and lost 2-1 in 11. So that means in 20 innings of pitching, they gave up 3 runs. So, you know, that you can win a game just right there by pitching. So, you know, hopefully they won't be dialed in like they were down there a bit. I mean, they're 0-6. They're in the Ivy League. But, you know, we got to respect them because they definitely can steal a game or two from us.
We'll see.
Weather looks good too, especially for Saturday in Conway. I haven't looked much further beyond that, but I think Friday and Saturday look good. I think we'll be okay for at least the first two games for sure.
JR, are you good, man? You sound aggravated tonight. Are you good?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
No, I'm just I'm aggravated that I didn't get to watch the game. That's what I'm aggravated about. And then I'm talking about a game that I didn't watch. And this is like a first for me. I'm not comfortable doing that, but doing my best, Kyle. I'm not aggravated though. I got a lot going on here in Virginia. I got a lot of distractions. I keep muting my mic and then I forget that I mute it and I say really good stuff, but nobody hears it.
Well,
we can all say we say really good stuff if nobody hears it.
I've been picking you up telepathically, Johnny. You're doing great.
I appreciate it, Alan.
You're doing great.
Yeah, he has, Alan, he has command of the broadcast. I feel like he's got really good command. Keeping it, yeah, he's really where he's pitching. He's making sure that he doesn't put it right over there. He's like, where am I going to put it? Oh, yeah, I've got a slider. He's got a really good split finger fastball. I heard his curveball is pretty good too.
Was Marty Fuhrer on the Flow broadcast?
Yes. That's what JR. That's what Justin said earlier.
How about that?
Yeah, he does basketball for UNCW. I know that. I didn't know about the baseball piece of things, but he lives in Wilmington, so it makes perfect sense. And he was with the battleship USS North Carolina. And I want to say, is it Red Cross or United Way? He's not with the battleship anymore. But he's a Wilmington guy. And, you know, when Jeff passed
away. What do you think about the – I'm sorry, go ahead. You're talking about Jeff Charles.
Yeah, when Jeff passed away, I think that was difficult on all of us. But Marty and Jeff were extremely close. And, he walked away. And I guess that was the best time for him to do that. But – miss him a lot. I tell you one thing, Marty Fuhrer, one of the reasons why
Marty, my sideline mic never works, Fuhrer.
That dude knew the rule book better than anyone though, man. I tell you what, he was great with we need, and no offense to anybody that's doing it now, but we need somebody that is really strong for our sideline reporter. But
do you remember though back in the day his wireless mic? It wasn't his fault, obviously. Yeah, it was like always trouble with his wireless mic. But I always like Marty on the sideline. He always liked his delivery style. Like, let's go to Marty on the sideline, and I just associate Marty's voice with a lot of Pirate wins back in the day.
Yeah, and David, our good friend David Horn, that dude is one of the best engineers that I have ever been around and worked with. I mean, the guy can write copy, he can do news. I mean, he can do it all. And with his engineering, those of you that know the show MacGyver, that guy can take bubble gum, a paper clip, and he can get you on the air. Right, Alan?
Yeah, David's been one of the best for a long time. And you're right. David can multitask. He can do it all and do it well. He's got a lot of talent.
No doubt. But Kyle, he definitely stepped up the broadcast when we got him to do the engineering, because it was so seamless with the broadcasting, with the broadcast, like when Jeff would pitch it to Marty, and also when they would, they, what people don't understand, I probably shouldn't tell this, but they have like a script they write out for the very beginning of the broadcast. And man, Jeff and Marty and David and all them and Kevin, they were just so good. They, it sounded like they were just four guys talking about football. You would have never known, but they worked really hard at, they worked really hard at making it natural instead of like, and the Pirates have 9 wins on the season and they are definitely going bowling. You know, they make it, instead of, they make it sound so good. So miss the voice very much. Miss Marty Fuhrer. That was part of it. Glad that David Horn is still there. And by the way, Kyle, it was good to hear Jim Zocchi was doing the basketball broadcast on Sunday. That was awesome.
I would nice. I would be like, you know, if he wants to do it full time and be the voice of the Pirates, that'd be nice. You mentioned, we were talking about obviously Wilmington because we were playing UNCW, but you were talking about the city of Wilmington and the USS North Carolina and all that. What do you think about the nickname Wilmington has picked up recently? Wilmy.
Well, the so basically, they've been known as Wilmywood for a long time.
No, just Wilmy. A lot of people are just calling it Wilmy.
I haven't heard that. No, I have heard.
Oh, yes, I have.
Yeah, that doesn't. And to me, that doesn't excite me at all. That's strange.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. Strange. Yeah, first thing I think is Wilma Flintstone.
Oh, I thought you were talking like a worm or something. Wilmy.
No, Wilmy, and that doesn't raise an eyebrow or.
We could do the Wilmy. We can do so the Willy. We could do the Willy Worm Festival.
Yeah, the Willy Worm Festival in Banner Elk.
Yeah. Whoever came up with that? That's. I hope the university is not going to.
Not UNC or, Wilmington. No. It's the nickname city. People are calling the city. They're saying Wilmy.
I've heard. Like, Port City is what I've always called it.
Yeah, I know what I call it is Wilmington, but it seems to be a new nickname is Wilmy.
Yeah.
We got some break. Is this breaking news?
If your news breaks, we'll fix it.
Word is that Kyle, he pitched the idea to EC to be the full-time and do some games remote, and they didn't want to do it because that's more of a play-fly thing.
What?
I'm talking about Jim Zocchi.
Oh, put that up there again?
I think he's saying, word is, Kyle, that he pitched the idea to EC to
Thomas be matters sometimes, Justin. Because it sounds like that I wanted to do the game.
For that's what life. I thought too. Man.
That would be entertaining.
Hey, you know what? I could do the games remotely. You give me to remotely where I could see my TV good. I can call the games. That wouldn't be a problem. I'll do it. They want me to do the games remotely. I'll do it. Give me a chance.
They're doing.
Hi from the studios in Jason.
I realize technology's great. I get it. I do, but I don't care for that at all.
No, I don't either. And I know it's been done, but no. I mean, you either move to Greenville or you don't do it, and we've decided not to do it. And I love Zocchi doing football, so that's why, you know, I'd like to have him as the full-time voice because I want a full-time voice, and Zocchi would be a great choice. But he's, you know, committed to football. He's got other commitments in Charlotte for the Panthers. And I know one time he was doing Winthrop basketball, but I'd love to see, you know, us have a full-time voice. My choice would be, you know, since Zocchi don't want to do it, my choice would be, oh, God, I'm having a brain fart here, guys.
Chris Haymeyer.
Haymeyer at Campbell, yeah.
That we need to start taking a shot there, too, guys.
Time I say Haymeyer, what are we supposed to say? Is that a shot anytime I say Chris Haymeyer?
Yeah, I'm just messing with you, man. I'm with you. I love Chris Haymeyer.
He's very good. By the way, Charlotte, the Hornets, we're up 96-77 with 7:59 to go. And Kyle, they will be 32-31. They started out 4-14 on the year. So this will be the first time they've been over 500, I think, the entire season off the top of my head. I'll have to look at that. John White, check that for me. I know you're good at fact checking. It would have had to have been earlier on the season if they were obviously if they were over 500, but I'll have to look at that.
A full report, Kyle, on Sawyer Brown next time we get together. I'm very interested.
Sunday night.
Yeah, I've seen him once. I saw him once, and it was fantastic. One of I've been to so many concerts, but one of the more underrated shows. How do I underrate my own shows? I'm one of the most underrated shows I've been to. Well, I would choose the writing, whatnot. but I don't talk about it. It's not like I – you know, I don't put it in my pantheon of great concerts, but it was a really great concert. That's why I want to see him again. That was back in 19. And so we got Seventh Row. There was some really good seats left late because tickets were so damn much. In fact, that's one thing I'll say. I don't know what their booking fee is, but I've been in that. It's down in Fayetteville at the not the Coliseum, no, the Crown. The theater. And I've been in that theater once before to see Cody Jinks. Imagine that. You can take a shot also. That theater, I don't know what it holds. I guess 2,000.
2,000?
Yeah, it'd be my guess. But for Seventh Row, for Sawyer Brown, y'all want to guess what I paid?
Probably
$60.
No, you're way off.
$140.
Close. $128 a ticket.
Wow. That includes all the fees and all that?
Yeah.
Wow. Mark Miller's a great front man, but boy, that's
You know, it was one of them things where the cheapest ticket was 70 something, and it was in the balcony. I said, well, you know what? I said, I can pay 70 something to sit in the balcony, use binoculars, or I can pay a little more. There was no cheap ticket options, and that's why there's still a lot of tickets left. They way overpriced the show, and I'm going to put that on the Crown Event Center, not Sawyer Brown, because I cannot imagine that on a Thursday night, Sawyer Brown's booking fee was that much. I think this is Crown Event Center just trying to maximize profit. Yeah. And how about just sell your damn tickets and you sell the place out, and that's how you maximize your profit.
Yeah, especially if you lower your prices a little bit. We talk about this all the time about, you know, East Carolina, but you lower your prices and then you get bugs and seats. And you're spending on merch. They're spending on concessions, which that would be going.
Well, Weldon Mills Theater's similar size. And yep. We just saw Blackberry Smoke there on a Thursday night. It was $75 a ticket. And I would imagine they're very similar booking fees for Blackberry Smoke, a very popular current rock band. And Sawyer Brown, a huge 90s country, 80s and 90s country band. So I imagine it's very similar. And if Weldon Mills Theater can charge $75 a ticket, JR, about row 12?
Yeah, 12, 15, somewhere around there.
Yeah, so, I mean, there should have been, to me, the max ticket prices for Sawyer Brown should have been $85 to maybe $100 out the door. And then the cheapest ticket options up in the balcony should have been $50.
Yeah, $128 to get you a VIP experience, a meal before, and a signed whatever for $128. I mean, holy smokes.
Well, I mean, ticket prices are ridiculous. $128 for that. We're going to see Alabama and Terry Clark in Winston-Salem on the 15th, and we are sitting in the stands, the first section of the stands, but the stands, and at Lawrence Shoal, at $90 a ticket on the floor. Like, the best ticket I could give when I tried to buy them was like probably row 15, and they were $140. And so, yeah, I mean, everything's ridiculous right now.
These venues and the artists are trying to make up the money from they don't make anymore because of streaming.
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. And then you do see some reasonable ticket prices. I think Weldon Mills does a good job keeping their ticket prices down. The Tracy Byrd concert at Granger Stadium is really reasonably priced. There's a down in Elizabethtown, North Carolina, at the winery and vineyard down there, they have a concert series, and most of their concerts are reasonably priced. But a lot of places are just through the roof with concert tickets, and it is what it is. And I know this ain't the concert objective, but you give me the opportunity to talk concerts, I'm going to.
Well, it's a really big year for 2026, and certainly I think it's going to be a very healthy concert season. We'll talk about that when Kyle, I know, and I go to a lot of shows, and the summertime I'll definitely be able to.
Yeah, I think the next one I'm debating on buying tickets to is Black Hawk and Little Texas together. So,
all right, thank you, John. See, I thought they were the Hornets were 2-1 on October 26th, 2-2, and the last time they had a 500 record was October the 28th. And they just had one as yes, but today we're I'm looking at the score and keeping an eye because
Hey, JR. Hopefully we're busy on June 6th. Well, I got tickets regardless.
Yeah, I know. You're going to Raleigh to see
No, I'm not. I'm not going to Blackberry. I'm not going to Whiskey Myers and Black Crows.
Oh, man.
I got tickets for the Bird's Nest to see Matt Mason. Do you know who Matt Mason is?
No, I do not.
You'd like him. I'll send you some of his stuff. But I keep wanting you to check out the Bird's Nest. Hopefully we're busy that weekend. But yeah, if it just so happens we're not, if there's still tickets left, you need to I'm going to go to the show regardless, so I won't be at the regionals that night. Or would that be super? That'd be regional weekend. But so I'll miss that game that night. But I'm not going to, you know, I got these tickets, and if it's, you know, if it ends up being a super, I mean, it's a regional game, so it's going to be important. But I can always sell the tickets if I decide I want to go watch the regional. Hank Jr. and Raleigh. I don't, you know, I love Hank Jr.'s music. I'm not a fan of his concerts. And then you look at his tour this year. Guess who's opening for Hank Jr. In Raleigh, JR?
I have no idea.
The Outlaws.
Marshall Tucker's there too.
Yeah,
They have different. I'll say that.
Yeah, he's got several different opening acts throughout the tour, but in Raleigh it's going to be the Outlaws. Which who the hell's in the Outlaws at this point?
I don't know who's left. I mean, Jimmy Thomason has passed away. I think Billy Jones has passed away. Henry Paul is with
Black Hawk. I just mentioned.
Yeah.
Him.
Yeah. So
I think there's only one. I think there may be for last time.
Monte Yoho, maybe, but that's
one. There's only one original member left, I think, of Outlaws. I could be wrong on Alan Vick. I could be wrong.
Yeah. Same thing with Marshall Tucker. All these bands are, you know, they're dying off, unfortunately.
Y'all find it interesting that Henry Paul, you know, Black Hawk or Outlaws got back together, and Henry Paul's just, well, he's the lead man for Black Hawk, so I guess it makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah.
Somebody's in-laws are in the Outlaws. It's just, I have no idea.
I have a nostalgia show I want to see, Alan. So it's Christopher Cross.
Okay.
This is in July, late July. It's Christopher Cross, The Romantics, and Toto.
That'd be a great show.
Child. I was talking about like 90s country. 80s country and the 80s, like that second British invasion.
Well, I like 80s country too. You got Alabama. I'm going to see them.
And shoot me the date on that, Dave, and I'll try to work on maybe I might have an inside track on maybe some tickets for that.
What is the most expensive show you guys have bought, or like the show and the ticket prices you guys have paid?
The most for me, FedEx Field. Well, I saw Metallica. And I'm not even a huge Metallica fan, but my friend had great tickets and somebody didn't go. And I think he paid like $180 for those tickets.
I want to say the most I've ever paid, I would say between $150, maybe $200 a show, a ticket, something around there. I don't even remember which one. I'm being honest. Like I have seen, it's one of those deals when I see like Alan, between the concert tickets that we've been given over the years, or I didn't have to pay much for it for whatever reason, I've been blessed. But what I'm trying to say is all those concerts have really run together. I'm getting to be like my dad, I think.
I had pit passes in Charlotte. So when I got done with chemo, my reward for myself, I got pit passes for Cody Jinks and Charles Wesley Godwin in Charlotte. They were $200 a ticket.
Okay. Damn, I paid $100 in 1994 for the Eagles' Hell Freezes Over tour. And I thought,
oh God, that was a lot of money in 94 for a concert ticket.
Back then it was $30 for the Gold
Circle. Kidney.
They're touring again. I think they're doing a very, very limited tour, and they were saying the tickets are like $1,000, but now, speaking of Metallica, they're also doing a very short tour, and they're saying those tickets are going for like $5,000 in the secondary market because they're just so hard to get.
Guys, so, they could pick Elvis up. He could play Greensboro, and I wouldn't pay, you know, $1,000 for a ticket. I just can't bring myself. And I'm like Dave. I've been fortunate to get free tickets to a lot of things, and I just can't fathom paying that kind of money for
example.
$200 is about my limit. And anything more than that, I'm not going to do without something special.
Yeah.
You guys were talking about like
live. I hate paying a lot of money for stadium. Stadiums just don't do it for me.
I'm not a big, I've never, well, baseball, small minor league park.
This is FedEx Field, Kyle. Yeah, so yeah, I was given tickets for the Rolling Stones and I had to go. It's the Rolling Stones. You got to go just to say you did it. And here's the deal. It was in a corporate suite. And there was a pane of glass between, you know, we were catered. No, it was great. Rude. And I was like, why am I even this? I'm not really at this concert. I'm looking at it through a window at the concert. You know, it just, I didn't feel like I was really there. And it wasn't really a great experience.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't pay for him, but I think John Mellencamp, John Fogerty in 2005 was about a $65 ticket.
That was a great show.
I wanted to go to that. Was broke as I could be at the time, and
that was incredible.
Couldn't go. Yeah, well, rubbing in. I've
rained about five times.
That was at Walnut Creek, wasn't it?
It was. Yep.
Yes.
Summer of two. Yeah. Good God. Yeah. And I also saw. In Virginia Beach,
I was so broke in those days. I missed Alan Jackson at Dowdy Ficklin.
Oh man,
yeah, I wish I'd known you back then, man. I could have helped you there for that.
I wish you'd known me too.
Yeah, I helped you for that one. I worked at WRNS 2001, 2002, sure. When they did the couple of the Dowdy Ficklin shows.
Did you do weekends on WRNS? What did you do at WRNS?
I did weekends and overnights.
I remember hearing you doing
weekends. On overnights, yeah. And I would.
Who was that guy that did weekends on WRNS? I cannot remember his name, but I can probably do his voice. It'd be like, your country, not a bad boy.
Ed Hawkins.
Ed Hawkins, yes. Yeah. Your country, not a bad boy. WRNS.
Yeah. He's still around. He still works for the station.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I always liked his voice. He had a very, very interesting delivery. Always.
Ed, I'll just do full disclosure. Ed is a 70-year-old black man, and he loves classic country.
Really? He's a black guy. Would not have guessed that. I mean,
Ed's African American, and he is a super guy, and he loves the old country.
By the way, you know what I'm amazed? I'm amazed that we have a huge audience, and we're not talking baseball. But we always tell people that we have covered pretty much all, and this is kind of like what we call.
Why Stevie would say that is if he was here?
Free time. What would he say?
What would Stevie say?
You know why? Do you know why Stevie would say we have a huge audience right now?
I'll know it as soon as you say it. I'll be disappointed that I didn't think of it. But no, I don't know.
But he would say because Kyle is an entertaining.
Oh, am yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But we'll have way more baseball to speak about on Sunday night. That's for sure.
Sure.
Watch all the games. So.
And by the way, tomorrow night, one of the reasons why we're doing the show tonight is we have a basketball game local. And it's the last basketball game in Williams Arena this week, or this year, the season rather. So I'll be there, and I don't know, Alan, are you going to the game tomorrow night?
Don't know yet. Hope to, but I'm not sure yet. Depends on what time I get done doing the radio thing tomorrow night.
And the ladies, actually, guys, they're going to be living on Tulsa time. They're going to be in
living on Tulsa.
I love that. It's one of my favorites.
Don Williams is awesome. I wish he was still around.
Underrated.
Yep. I wish
I could have seen him on Saturday at 3:00. The ladies,
you will not be seeing Don Williams.
No, I did see Don Williams, and it was fantastic.
He is a smooth. That dude, like, it's so hard to do what he did.
Like, so laid back sounding.
And he makes it look so easy. And yeah. It's crazy.
He's well, one his of whole bad, approach.
Bad song. There's things I like more than others, but he never did a bad song. Never. Amen.
Miss him. I'm glad.
What's the song? Matt Mason, the guy I'm going to see on June 6th.
Oh, that's a new shot.
Is, you know what, Dave? If we'd have took shots at one point when every time you said "very fact," we'd all be alcoholics in an AA right now. but anyway,
hey Dave, you brought up college basketball, so I have to report this. you know, Rice, they're trying to ruin things for us. First, they went to Temple and won. Now, they had a 10-point lead at North Texas tonight, but North Texas has scored 8 in a row, so it's now 49-47 Rice, 7:47 to go. We need North Texas to win that game. If Rice wins, it's not over, but it makes things much more difficult. And I wanted to go one step further and say, to support, I know, Dave, you agree with me, and I know Alan does, and I'm sure Kyle does too, that every team in every conference should get a chance to play in their conference tournament. And Gardner-Webb is proving that fact tonight, because they're 3-28 on the year, and they're beating South Carolina Upstate right now with less than a minute to go.
South Carolina Upstate?
They're beating them with less than a minute to go.
Wow.
63-62. Oh, they just scored. 64-63 Upstate with 29 seconds to go. So, but still, Gardner-Webb's there. They're making, you know, those kids are having memories of playing in a conference tournament, and I think every kid should get that opportunity. And it sucks when teams aren't allowed to play in a conference tournament.
Trivia question. You could send Stanford to Raleigh on a Wednesday night to play a basketball game, and you can absorb that cost with planes and whatever, then you can let every team in the conference tournament. Don't tell me it's about saving money. That's a crock of crap. That's an excuse.
I've got breaking news. The Hornets win it. They went to the Boston Garden, 118-89. They're now 32-31. They did it.
Going to Boston and winning by, 28 points, 27, whatever?
Yeah.
At Boston Market. That's awesome. I had a trivia question related to South Carolina Upstate. Yeah, Boston Market. Okay. Rotisserie chicken. rotisserie chicken and broccoli. Two-part trivia question. What was South Carolina Upstate's name before they were South Carolina Upstate, and who was their first head coach at the Division I level?
And then I have a third after that.
I don't know.
Okay, the answer, the first head coach at Division I level, you should know that, is Eddie Payne. And second, they were USC Spartanburg.
That's right. I did know that. You said that.
Yeah. I knew Eddie Payne. I did not know the second part of it.
Yeah. All right, well.
And who's from Spartanburg, South Carolina? What band, Kyle?
Marshall Tucker.
Yes, sir.
Got their name off of a lock. The man's name was on the lock. They didn't have a name of a band. And they were practicing in a storage, just a storage place, facility, whatever, and saw a lock with the name Marshall Tucker on it.
When I was a kid, now I even saw them in concert when I was a kid. And okay? Saw them open for Hank Jr. back in the 90s. When I was a teenager, not a little kid. I was about 15. It was them. It was actually Hank Jr., Charlie Daniels, 38 Special, Marshall Tucker.
I was there at that one.
Yeah, I was like 15. Good show. Everybody but Hank Jr. Hank Jr. went good that night. Charlie Daniels, 38 Special, Marshall Tucker blew Hank Jr. off stage.
And Hank had, I was there at that show because
he was drunk.
Well, that's the problem with Hank.
Barber straight.
Yeah. First time, great. Second time I saw him, he was blitzed.
Yeah, but the show was good because Charlie Daniels, 38 Special, Marshall
Tucker. So, Kyle, you got to see Toy Caldwell because he was.
Yeah.
Well, wow.
I was going to tell you something. I don't know how old I was when I realized Hurt It In A Love Song was Hurt It In A Love. I guess maybe when I read the friggin' title, because
you thought it was Pretty Little Love Song.
I did. How'd you know that? There's a lot. Is that
because it sounds like that? Yes. I don't blame you.
I had in around the time of Alan knows I was on the Outer Banks at the Rock. And we had a night DJ, and her name was Tawny Hayes. That was her her name. And she told me, she said, I grew up thinking all these years that it was
Pretty Little Love Song.
And honestly, it was funny. What's funny is, till she said that, I had never
heard wrong.
That. And then after I listened to it, I'm like, it does sound like Pretty Little Love Song.
Yeah, it does. So
misheard lyrics and misheard band names. Speaking of Marshall Tucker, best Marshall Tucker song that was almost a top 40 hit, Last of the Singing Cowboys. That's a great song.
I like Fire on the Mountain.
That's a great
song. Yeah.
You know, boy. Like Fire on the Mountain?
Fire on the Mountain. I definitely do.
Heck.
fire on the mountain, lightning in the air.
They're going to be down in Elizabethtown if everybody wants another group outing. Dave, you actually going to come?
Is Doug Gray still in that?
Yes. The lead singer that played the flute is still in the band.
Doug Gray. He's the only one left. Yeah, but that's McCorkle's gone.
I have a thing with that with bands. You either got to have the original lead singer, and to me it's fine then. Yep. Or if you have all original band members besides the lead singer, Little Texas, for example, that's fine.
You can have one guy that was the keyboard player, though.
Right. That's not. Now, with Skinner, I give them a pass because everybody's dead. And Johnny Van Zant's been the lead singer since 87. But besides that, you got to have all original band members and a new lead singer, or you got to have the original lead singer, and then I don't care about the rest of the band members.
Alan, is there a story as to why Artemis Pyle is not in Lynyrd Skynyrd?
Yeah, but the Blood Oath.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of bad, Kyle will tell you, there's a lot of bad blood over the money. All money always gets involved.
There was a Blood Oath that Artemis Pyle claims they took. Yeah. That they would never, that anybody after the plane crash would never make money off the Lynyrd Skynyrd name. And the other members claim that never happened, that it was just discussed. But Artemis claims that it was. And Artemis claims, he also says Lynyrd Skynyrd was one person, and that was Ronnie Van Zant. So
yeah, I like Artemis, but I don't agree with
him. I wouldn't go that far.
I don't agree with him on that either.
No.
I don't agree
Dave, what are you doing?
He's entertaining us. That's what he's doing.
Dave, do you know your camera's on?
Dave is showing us Dave from every angle.
Dave.
That's more this is Dave weird. That I've seen in quite a while right there.
No, it looks scary. That's scary, Dave, right
what
there.
What the hell is going on here?
I think Dave is frozen in time.
Okay. The next thing that's going to pop up is going to be like a screaming face, I think. But
I'm glad you said that. I thought he was just staring. Yeah, like
modern technology is a beautiful thing for sure. When it works. When it works properly.
I didn't realize he was frozen.
Probably. Dave, calling Dave Richmond. Hello.
You know, guys, speaking of, we'll just continue talking about music until Dave comes back. But I saw The Frontmen. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that last year. And that was really good. That's Tim Rushlow, who was the lead singer of Little Texas.
Yep.
Larry Stewart, who was the lead singer of Restless Heart. And then Richie McDowell, who was the lead singer of Lone Star. And they tour together and just take turns singing hits from each band. And that was a lot of fun. It was good. I'm a big Restless Heart fan. And I'm sure at some point they'll have a final reunion tour. But it's the closest thing you can get to seeing Restless Heart.
What was your favorite Restless Heart tune?
Oh, God, probably Fast Moving Train. I mean, Bluest Eyes in Texas. They had a song I really liked off of one of their later albums after Larry Stewart left, when the drummer was singing lead, called Big Iron Horses.
Yeah.
I really like that one, When She Cries. But probably Fast Moving Train would be my
favorite. I like Dancy's Dream.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Dream has always been one of my favorites. Yep. And very early, they had a pop hit called New York Hold Her Tight.
Well, When She Cries at Night was a huge pop
when she
hit.
Cries was a, yeah, When She Cries was a pop hit as well.
Yeah.
And so I think we've lost Johnny. And if we lost,
I'm just buried behind the extra innings logo. I'm here, though. I hear everything y'all are saying.
Restless Heart, while they had pop crossover, I wouldn't consider them pop country. I mean, lyrically, they were country.
Right.
They just happened to have some pop success. Yeah. So I always liked them.
Was very country as well. Yeah.
Do what?
Stewart had a great voice.
Yes, he did. And like I said, if you ever get a chance to see the frontman, go see him. They did like four Restless Heart songs. I mean, I think it was like five each, like five Restless Heart songs, five Lone Star songs, five Little Texas songs. And then they had some original stuff that they did.
Now I don't hear anybody at all. So I guess I'm going to have to log out.
Dave, are you with us?
No, hold on.
Dave?
I don't think he's back yet.
I'm here.
All right.
You are there, Dave? So now Alan's gone.
Yeah, we need to close this thing out for a long. We've been rambling on about music for a while, and we're having technical difficulties.
I'm ready to check out. Hey, Dave, Gardner Webb lives to play another game. They're moving on.
I apologize, guys. I had to use the restroom, so.
That's what we were seeing on camera. Okay.
No, not that. I had to literally leave and go to the restroom, so I didn't realize I didn't have my camera off. All right. So, anyway, you guys. There's Mr. Allen.
Everybody was muted, so I had to log out and log back in. So.
All right. Yeah. So, guys, quickly before we get out of here, we've been talking, like Kyle said, about music. Do you guys want to talk quickly about your predictions for this weekend or what you hope for? And then we'll be back on Sunday night.
I'll say the Pirates will take 2 out of 3. I think it's tough to get a sweep on the road. It's going to be tough to take 2 out of 3 on the road, even with Coastal's pitching woes. But Pirates get 2 big wins on the road, go 3-1 for the week. And that's my prediction for the weekend. If anybody hasn't realized, the season tickets are on sale for football. I got mine on Monday. So renew your season tickets. What is the priority deadline, Dave? Do you know?
It is April the 1st, yes.
There you go. So get your season tickets renewed in the next month.
And by the way, you have until Alexander's birthday, March 20th, I believe it is, and you get 10 priority points. So for those of you that care about priority points like I do, I'm glad you said that, Kyle. I'm going to renew mine tomorrow. So.
You got to rearrange things with his mom, and we're going to take him to see Shenandoah for his birthday.
Okay, we'll see what we can do. That would be really cool. The closest place after that would be in Kentucky. It's about a 10-hour drive.
This is hysterical to me that I was talking about that. I think to JR.
What was I talking about? No, we talked about it.
And then did you know he was into Shenandoah already, or did you find out after that?
After that, because you had talked about it, so it was on my radar. And then one night he was walking around the house singing 2 Dozen Roses, and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, for some reason, I don't know why, that song went viral on TikTok, and they're selling out shows to young fans. It's insane. I do too. But on my list of who was going to go viral because of TikTok, Shenandoah was not going to be on that list.
No, not at all. But happy for them for sure. And that should be great. It's in Wilmington on coming up in a couple weeks. So
on the 19th, his birthday, Community College.
His 13th birthday is that Friday on the 20th. So yes. Love to make that. I wish we could make that happen. But anyway, he's definitely going
to speak. If you decide to do it, let me know, because you can talk me into going to a concert.
Yeah, and I've never seen them, and I've always thought they were underrated. I like them a lot. But anyway, 2-1. I agree with you, Kyle. Hey, we are in agreement. I think the Pirates take 2 out of 3 this weekend, and wish I could go to the concert. Listen to me. Wish I could go to the series, but I'm trying to save my money for that. We've got a lot of stuff coming up for summertime and different things, spring break. There's a lot of stuff going on. And as you guys know, I had a car repair and another one that I have to get in the next couple of days that I wish I didn't have to get, but it's definitely well worth it. So, but anyway, 2 out of 3 for me, for the Pirates. What say you, Johnny?
I say, how does a bunch of guys from Muscle Shoals, Alabama, name their band Shenandoah? I mean, that's my turf. Shenandoah's, that's where I grew up.
That's a good question.
I was curious about that. I guess it was just people.
I've never thought about that.
They met a girl named Janie Baker, and they were her love slave, and she was from the Shenandoah Valley.
Yes.
Okay, there you go. My prediction is also 2-1, but we have an offensive explosion. We score at least 25 runs. We'll definitely have we'll definitely have 10 runs in one of the games.
I
can see that. I can see that.
We'll definitely have 10 runs in one of the games.
We will.
JR saying definitely.
Yeah.
5-star lock.
It's happening.
Guarantee it.
Yep, I guarantee it.
Hey, there's some people
because what am I going to do if it doesn't happen?
You're gonna do like Tony Collins and jump buck naked into the Tar River.
Hey, JR, you're going to be JR the Greek.
It's going to happen, fellas.
Sorry. Johnny the Greek. So you'll be.
Okay.
That'll be great. That's the NFL Today reference, if y'all remember that from the 80s, Jimmy the Greek Snyder. But anyway,
Kennedy. Whoa. Phyllis George was beautiful too, but Jane Kennedy. Oh my goodness.
Woo! Yes, sir.
Wow. Jane Kennedy.
That's the name I hadn't heard in a long time.
Why are you mentioning her? What does she have to do with it?
And he said NFL Today.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know who she was, the reporter on NFL Today. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You look it up. Yeah. From back at that time. So anyway, yeah, 2 out of 3. Kyle says 2 out of 3. Johnny, you say 2 out of 3?
Again, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to say 2 out of 3.
All right. So
10 run game guaranteed, 25 runs total for the weekend.
Well, I gotta be different, guys. So I will say we're gonna sweep the damn series.
Oh man,
I hope you're right, Alan. Get
his broom out.
We gotta be. Hey, I gotta be different. I gotta be me. Never mind.
you and Kenny Omega, the sweeper.
If anybody's listening, and they're going to the games this weekend in Conway, do me a favor, Josh Thomas, if you're still there. I hate it when their fans get. You know, they have a little bit too much to drink, and then they go to our bullpen. You know, the opposing bullpen in Conway, the fans right can field. Stand directly over top of it and just heckle them. And so I think, you know, a good pirate presence in right field in the opposing, you know, protect our pitchers out there.
I wish that Kyle could have been there because he would understand how much we hate. I mean, it was like, oh my God, these people are so drunk and obnoxious. And not that they're the only ones, but in that moment, that was not fun. But anyway, good luck.
They were very quiet at the football game.
They didn't have, because they didn't have anything to. What are they going to scream about?
Well, I mean, to be honest, and they were nice before the game. Now, I heard some people walking through the student lots didn't have a good time, but. Everybody was nice to me. So, I can only go by my own experience. You can only go by your experience.
Yeah. And it was like you said.
Baseball's a different animal for them.
Yeah. Sure it is.
They're very
particularly for their fan base.
Yeah. All right, guys. Oh, wow. Well, don't forget, those of you that are just joining us, Friday night, we'll be calling the Martin County High School basketball game as they're in the Eastern Finals. They win that. They go to the state championship game. 1 week after, and so looking forward to that myself, Alan Vick, and Mark Holliday, maybe Kyle, maybe we can get Kyle to join us too at some point, but
go Gator.
TSO is going to bring that for you, so the athletic director, he wanted to do it, so let's do it, and I didn't know I was doing it, but we're doing it, so great to be invited and have the opportunity. It'll be a lot of fun with basketball at Williams Arena, Kyle, so between Martin County fans and Kinston fans, we're going to have that place is going to be loud.
Is it Kinston versus Martin County?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Vikings and Gators.
Going to be two really good basketball teams going at it. Two really good basketball.
Yeah, we're 25-4 this year. We even beat Conley. There's been some big wins.
Yeah.
And not to bring it up to Alan, but I'm just excited. I can't believe we beat Farmville Central. In basketball, that was amazing the other night. And overtime, right, Alan? I think 71-60.
71-60 in overtime, I believe, was the
final. Yeah.
And, but, you know, it's a good thing that this game is in a neutral site, I think, because there was a dust-up at the end of that Farmville Central game. And, you know, Kinston and Martin County aren't exactly friendly foes. So
they're not.
I think it's a good idea that – And plus, like you said, Dave, I agree with it. They should do it every year.
I've lived in both, and I'm just going to speak honest. If it gets to throwing hands or fisticuffs or anything like that, I'm going with K-Town.
Well, I wouldn't doubt you.
I'm not saying I'm participating. I'm saying because I don't
I hear you. You're,
I don't play Kinston at all, but I'm just telling you, Kinston's winning that fight.
Well, hopefully we don't have that. I hope that it's a good game, and I hope the Gators will be playing next week for our state championship. We'll see about that. But
do you know what two teams are on the other side?
Oh God, I saw it. Was it Surrey and Lincolnton? I'll have to look again. Bubba would know. That's what
East Lincoln is there every year, so I would imagine they're back again this year. I don't know that, but
I think so. It was like Surrey and East Lincoln, I believe. I'll have to look again, but. That'll be next. I believe it'll be next Saturday for the championship, and we'll look at calling that game too. Never called a state championship game, so that would be great. But you got to get there first. So,
and what's the venue for the state championship game?
Is it Chapel Hill, Alan?
I'm not sure, but I will have some notes and things like that before we do anything on Friday. So I got to cram very quickly because I don't know a lot about either team, to be honest with you.
All right, we'll do that, and looking forward to it, and maybe we'll do some baseball. But right now, we're focused on basketball for Martin County, and guys, looking forward to it. Hopefully, everybody will come back, and we'll be excited on Sunday night. And as we have extra innings, we'll do that. And one final thing, guys, I have everything archived, and all the shows are up to date on our podcast, our traditional podcast. So if you want to listen to our latest episodes, we have that up. So, and this one will be up tomorrow. So if awesome. You're listening on Wednesday night. So thank you guys so much. I appreciate y'all. Some of my closest friends on the show again tonight. With Kyle, Johnny, Alan, thanks again, and congratulations to the Pirates as they go to Wilmington and get the big win tonight, 5-3. Yep. We'll see you on Sunday night, and as always, go Pirates.
You're watching the Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.